This is the M Zone.
And welcome back to the M Zone. Jamie Morris, Matt the Hitman Mizzler.
What up, though?
Best guy in the Bizzler. He's training right now. Gavin will be on eventually. We got Boom Boom, Matty Leach, Mr. Electric himself, and the Angel of the Big House, Angelus Gonzalez, with the Detroit News, who is heading into that toilet pit that we call Columbus.
Yeah, gross.
He's on our way driving there right now. That's right, Angelus. You heard me. I call it the toilet pit.
That's not very nice, Jamie.
No, I'm
not
nice today.
I think you had a pretty good game there once, didn't you?
I did have a moment there, and it's been recognized. And, you know, as I said, I've been saying this all week. Look, this type of game, that's when it's for all the marbles, Angelique. This is how people get recognized. Nobody knew who I was. Mm-hmm. Yeah, people knew me in the state of Michigan, maybe around in various areas. But when I played my game and my offensive line took care of business and I gained some yards, and I was told this. I never knew this. I had 60 yards in the first half and 150 yards in the second half. Angelique, it takes you to the next level. People can recognize you. They say hi to you. They shake your hand. They want to buy you a drink, everything like that. This is that game right now. This is why players come to Michigan. And my question to you is, are the two running backs from the University of Michigan, are they planning on playing or not?
That is the 100 million bazillion question, isn't it? I mean, it's... I don't know. I mean, they've kept it very tight-lipped in Shebeckler Hall, what the status is of Corum and Edwards. I saw Donovan Tuesday night. I was in the building working, and he came over and was very chit-chatty and, you know, seemed very upbeat. I don't know if that means anything. Probably doesn't mean anything. And I saw Blake Sunday delivering turkeys a day after, you know, less than 24 hours after he hurt his knee. Mm-hmm. Look, I mean, I think because of all the things you just said, Jamie, what this game is and you know, how important it is and the stage, I really believe that Blake in particular will try to give it a shot. And I've got to believe that Donovan, who has sat out mostly two games, will be suiting up and ready to play as well. And I think Luke Schoonmaker and Mike Morris and Trevor Keegan, those guys as well. I mean, those are all very important pieces. But, you know, I understand the hand-wringing about what's going on with Corum and Edwards. And we will definitely know, I think, as these guys come off the bus on Saturday.
Yeah, we certainly will. And like you said, I would imagine that if there is any chance for any of those young men to play in this game, come hell or high water, they are going to be out there and they are going to be playing. But the question is, Angelique, if Blake Corum isn't 100%, say he's not 90%, maybe he's 75%. Same thing with Donovan Edwards. They, all of these guys play, but they can't play up to their 100% potential. Does Michigan still have a chance in this game, or do they need all of these guys back firing on all cylinders?
I think they need everybody, you know, as healthy as possible going into Ohio Stadium. I mean, a place where Michigan, this game has not happened in 4 years, and you know how angry Ohio State players are, and their head coach certainly has talked about, you know, how the loss last year has lingered with them. He said it has scarred them. So I can only imagine, you know, they've been waiting for this game, obviously for 4 years, but waiting for this matchup for a year. And I think that's another huge reason, not just the talent level on Ohio State's side, but just, you know, they're ready for this, those intangibles. And I do think, Michigan needs to be full go. And, you know, I don't know how you can say that with the running backs. I don't know how Blake Corum is going to have this miraculous recovery to be 100%. I don't think anyone's expecting that. But I think we're all fooling ourselves if we don't think that Ohio State's game plan was to stop the run or slow Corum and slow Edwards and put this all on J.J. McCarthy. And I think that was always their game plan. And now I think we're going to see that play out on Saturday.
Again, you're listening to Angela Chingalis, writer for the Detroit News, Angel of the Big House. She's been to a few of these games before. Angelique, with that being said, and you brought it up, it was a great segue. I mean, it's time. JJ McCarthy has been the quarterback for 11 straight games. I mean, it's time for him to step out of the shadow of Blake Corum, Donovan Edwards, and become that quarterback that's going to lead this football team. I mean, and these are my charts, Angelique. According to my charts, you have a dominating offensive line. You also have, on the other side of the ball, you have a dominating defensive line. This team just needs to be fed. This team needs a semblance of a running game. You can put somebody back there to gain yards the way this offensive line blocks. And I think this defensive line can get to CJ. Mm-hmm. I think they can. And I think that this team, look, I get it. As I told people on Tuesday, look, they have some great wide receivers. They have some incredible athletes on their team. It's only 15 yards. You don't let anybody get behind you. If he gets behind you, you grab him. You hold on to him. It's only 15 yards from the spot. That's not, no, from the line of scrimmage. So, look, you can't let, and if the guy catches the ball, don't let him go. Hold on to it. Bring him down. Hey, Angelique, last year, Ohio State threw for over 300 yards plus, but you saw what happened. Michigan dominated.
Yeah, I mean, I agree with you, Jamie. I think C.J. Stroud, if they can give Mike Morris, I would imagine, is the guy. If they can disrupt him a little bit, he has looked like a mere mortal in those situations. But, again, I mean, you mentioned the receivers. Marvin Harrison is... I mean, I've talked to a lot of different people who think he's really the Heisman Trophy candidate at Ohio State. I mean, just that the caliber of player he is, that's going to be a challenging matchup, but it does start up front, and it starts getting in C.J. Stroud's face, making him uncomfortable, and just disrupting him, because then that disrupts this offense, and no one knows how good their run game is right now, how healthy it is either. That's been an issue for Ohio State. So I do think, I don't think people have talked enough about Michigan's defense. I mean, statistically, the number one defense in the country, but they have given up some chunk plays here mm-hmm. and there. But I think when you look at like fourth down, they've stopped teams. They're one of the best teams stopping teams on fourth down. They've given up 8 of 26 conversions this season. And my point being that they've come up big when they've had to come up big. And, not 100% of the time, but I'd say a vast majority of situations, the defense has really, really stepped up. You saw it starting at Iowa when people were uncertain, if Michigan could come out of there. Even with Iowa's offense as poor as it is, that's always a tough test there, and the defense came through. So, I think people are focused on Blake Corum and Donovan Edwards and the health and J.J. McCarthy, but I think a big piece of this is what Michigan's defense can do to disrupt C.J. Stroud, and people should not overlook that aspect of this game.
We've seen it slow down, and hey, we like to brag about our great quarterback, Tom Brady. Even in those big Super Bowls, those biggest moments, the only thing that slows him down is an effective pass rush mm-hmm. with four. So I'm going to ask you, Angelique, there's going to be a lot of pressure all over that defense, from the getting to the quarterback, obviously with those great wide receivers, all of the targets they have, a lot on the secondary, Junior Colson in that linebacking core, handling everything in between of the position groups on the defensive side of the ball. Who has the most pressure on them to step up their game here on Saturday?
Well, I think you could point to DJ Turner. I think you could talk about the secondary. But I do think, and I will beat this drum the rest of the season, and I have been for Mozzie Smith. I mean, I think this guy has done so much, and with so little just with little fanfare. I mean, he doesn't have the stats, but I mean, he takes on double teams. He has been triple teamed a couple times, but he's the guy who opens things up for guys like Mike Morris and Jalen Harrell and, you know, even Chris Jenkins, an interior guy who's been able to get pressure on the quarterback. And to me, not that there's pressure on Mazi Smith, but I think he's the point person there. And I think it really does start with him because I'm not ready to say this is a great Michigan secondary, but they have played well and they've had some good play out of Rod Moore. They've had some good play out of DJ Turner, but you know, these are very good receivers. And I think you've got to take the pressure off of Michigan's defensive backs as much as possible. And that's why I point to Mazi Smith as being the key to the operation on the defensive side.
Again, you're listening to Angelique Shingalis, writer for the Detroit News, Angel of the Big House. She's seen a few of these games, folks. I just want you to know that. That being said, Angelique, look, the shoe is on the other foot, too, when you talk about running backs. Mm-hmm. Ohio State's number one and number two running back, they're not healthy either. They got another kid that's come out of there and who's running the ball pretty well. I mean, he showed promise against Maryland, and you know, they're touting him. But Angelique, let's be honest, does Ohio State really, really use their running game?
Well, I think they'd like to use their running game a little bit more. I mean, just to compliment what C.J. Stroud does. I mean, it makes the passing game more effective. The freshman was good. I mean, in the second half, in particular against Maryland, I'm not sure Maryland has a great run defense, but and that's what Michigan has been priding itself on. Obviously, Chase Brown got yards against Michigan. He's an exceptional back, and I absolutely think Ohio State wants to get the run game going. I think you're looking at. If they can get 100 yards rushing, that would be a very good thing for the Ohio State offense. And you complement that with what, 300 yards from C.J. Stroud. And then I think Michigan's in trouble. But I don't know. I don't know how healthy these running backs are for Ohio State. And they've also got a good tight end, too. And just like Michigan has a good tight end in Luke Schoonmaker, who I suspect will be back and playing on Saturday. So they have a lot of similar pieces. It's just that they have definitely the edge at receiver and certainly more experience at quarterback. So evenly matched, but definitely I think you have to lean to, you have to give the edge to Ohio State in those categories.
You mentioned quarterback. This is JJ McCarthy's first start in this game. You know, was there last year, but now it will all be on his shoulders. You can argue even more of the offensive load will be on his shoulders with potentially Blake Corum not being 100%, Donovan Edwards not being 100%. How do you see Michigan utilizing him this game to get the most out of him? You know, I think it was that Penn State game. All of a sudden we saw him on these design runs where we had been wondering where was that all season? I have a feeling there might be one or two things up Michigan's sleeve. How do you see them using JJ in this game?
Well, I think at least one part of this is there is the threat of JJ in those designed runs, and Ohio State's defensive coordinator has to consider that. Jim Knowles has to be aware of what JJ McCarthy can do in that aspect. But I think the other thing is you can't afford JJ taking too many hits in this game and really all season. It's not a situation where there is a ton of depth behind him. So I'm not sure how much they want to put him out there and risk that. But, you know, I'm looking at guys like Andrell Anthony. I mean, he is supremely talented and he just hasn't been there enough this year. And, you know, you've got to get a Michigan State 2021 game out of him in Columbus. Ronnie Bell is Ronnie Bell. You're going to get He's going to get his catches. He's going to get his yards. But you need a game breaker. And the guy I look at is Andrell Anthony. And they've been close on some of those deep passes. They haven't quite hit it, but they've been close. And the one thing I'll say about JJ, the guy has incredible confidence. He just doesn't flinch. I mean, he really doesn't. And that actually sounded like something Jim Harbaugh would say. So let me just say it differently. I mean, he's unflappable. And I don't want to sound like Jim Harbaugh describing J.J. McCarthy. And I talked to I talked this week to Drew Henson, who's the last Michigan quarterback to win in Columbus in 2000. Wow. And, you know, he sees, he's watched a lot of J.J. McCarthy and sees the capability there. And it's the one thing that Drew said is he went into that game in Ohio Stadium in 2000. I mean, 22 years ago, mm-hmm. when you think about that, Michigan hasn't won there. And he just said he went, he was going in to have fun. He was not intimidated. And I do think J.J. McCarthy carries that kind of approach. Whether that it relates to completions, I don't know. But I don't think the moment will be too big for him.
Again, you're listening to Angelique Shingalis, writer for the Detroit News, Angel of the Big House. So when you put it all, the tail of the tape in front of you, Angelique, and you, I mean, I guess the game needs to be played and you got to see how these kids react. But when you put it all in front of you, how do you see this game falling?
Well, I've got Ohio State winning this game, Jamie. I mean, again, it's one of those going in, there are so many question marks, and the biggest being Blake Corum. I mean, you know, everyone is, there is a lot of hand-wringing about that, and there should be. He's carried the offense. I mean, what did Mike Hart say early in the season? He said, we go as Blake Corum goes. And that's the way this is a smash-mouth team. But, you know, it's got a very capable offensive line, as you pointed out. They've been good in pass protection. This is going to be on J.J. McCarthy to win, in my opinion. But I think Ohio State playing at home with the intangibles of just, you know, wanting revenge from last year. And that does play a big role. I mean, you've heard all those guys from on the 68 team and how Bope had taped that score everywhere. And then they came out and we're so fired up in 69. I know that was a long time ago, but those kinds of motivations are there, and they're certainly there with Ryan Day and his team. But with Blake Corum not 100%, I just think you weigh a little heavier on Ohio State's side.
It is certainly a tall task for the Wolverines. Ohio State, you can argue, would have been the favorite in the matchup all season long. They're going down to the snake pit, which is one big disadvantage that the Wolverines face compared to the win over Ohio State last season. So I agree with you. I think they are the underdogs going into this matchup. So if the Wolverines are going to come, you know, overcome the road crowd playing down in the state of Ohio, this very talented matchup that Ohio State has, if Blake isn't 100%, you know, him having a miracle performance certainly would bode well for the Wolverines. But besides that, how do you see the Wolverines pulling off an upset? What would it take, and who would we need to see it out of if they were going to steal a win down there?
Well, for Michigan to win, I mean, I think they have to do what they've done most this season and come out with that, it's usually a 10, 15-play scripted drive, score early. I don't think you're going to deflate the Ohio Stadium crowd, but you start making people think maybe they're not as loud. And I mean, their whole goal on the road is to quiet them. Communicating in that environment is very difficult for an offense, as Jamie knows. And, you know, I think it's going to be about getting pressure on C.J. Stroud, rattling him. If they can get a turnover, you're not going to see like the three interception performance they had at Rutgers in the second half. But if they can get a turnover and score that way, that's going to be a huge difference maker for Michigan. And, you know, we haven't even talked special teams. They both have very good kickers, Ruggles and Jake Moody. So I think that there's really no edge there. But the one thing I have looked at, and I thought this was a key going into the Michigan State game, because I've definitely been hammering Michigan on this most of the season, is their red zone production and mm-hmm. not getting touchdowns and coming away with field goals. Absolutely can't do that in Columbus. But one thing, I was looking at Ohio State stats. They have given up touchdowns. They're not a great red zone defense. And Michigan has to take advantage of that if they're in the red zone. But I do think, I'll say it again, and I know there's no reason to say it because he hasn't performed well, but they've got to have a J.J. Anderell Anthony kind of connection. Roman Wilson, you know, they've got to have that going for them on Saturday.
Kenya listening to Angelique Shingalis, writer for the Detroit News, Angel of the Big House. If Angelique doesn't know, then it's not known. That being said, Angelique, when we talk about this game, the intangibles. What are the intangibles that you want to see? That you're expecting to see out of both teams?
Well, for Ohio State, I mean, it's definitely playing at home and not having played there for 4 years, and you know, still being upset about that 2020 game being canceled because of the COVID outbreak. And I think Brian Day's got his team properly fired up for this game. But I think when you look at Michigan too, one thing that I've appreciated about Jim Harbaugh's approach these last couple of years, Jamie, is that he finally started talking openly about wanting to beat Ohio State. Now all the players do too. And they practice every week. They've watched film of Ohio State every week. They've got the Beat Ohio drill once a week. So they've definitely been focused on it. And I think that that's freed this team a little bit. And they're playing loose. And that's absolutely going to be the key. And that starts with JJ, because he is extremely loose. And Oluolu Timmy, I asked him this week about what Jason's on-field demeanor is like, and he said he loves playing with a quarterback like that. He just never, he doesn't think twice if a play didn't go well or if it did go well. He just moves on to the next play. And I think that's if there's an intangible, it's that Michigan cannot, if they get behind, it's something that Drew Henson said, Lloyd Carr told them going into that game, even if you get ahead, if you get behind, you just never lose your poise, and nothing, you know, this is a game that will come down to a play or two, and you've just got to maintain. And I think that's the approach Michigan has to have.
Yeah, it certainly is, because we've seen the highs and we have seen the lows and the roller coaster in between during these games. But you mentioned some big names, the Drew Hensons, the Bradys. Got one here with us, a guy, Jamie Morris, you know, guys who made their name in this game. So whether it's on the offensive side or defensive side, again, even Aiden Hutchinson with the 3 sacks that he had last year, Hassan Haskins etching his name in history with those 5 touchdowns. If there was somebody that you see really blowing up and having that game-changing performance, who would you put your money on here today?
I'm going to put it on J.J. McCarthy. I mean, I know it's his first time going into the horseshoe. I know, but it's been his first time for everything this year, you know, playing, making his first start, making his first Big Ten road start, his first Big Ten start, all those things. And he's led them to an 11-0 season. It's not been all J.J., but he hasn't made mistakes that have been costly for them. He's certainly not perfect. There's so much more room for improvement, but I think I've always thought, as I said at the start, I mean, I always thought the game plan would be to take Corum out as much as possible and take Donovan Edwards out of their offense as much as possible, neutralize them, and then make J.J. win the game. And I think that this is, you're right, this game makes players. It made Tamanga Biakapatuka, it made Desmond Howard and Charles Woodson. And I'm not saying J.J. McCarthy's going to win a Heisman. That's not going to happen on Saturday. But this is the kind of game that this kind of stage that could make him a huge star.
Last question, Angelique. This was 2 weeks ago. Again, you're listening to Angelique Shingalis of the Detroit News. 2 weeks ago, someone came up to me, a national reporter came up to me and said, this is the game for the Heisman Trophy. And I'm like, what are you talking about? The Michigan-Ohio State game will be the winner of that game will win the Heisman Trophy between the two of them. It's Blake Corum or C.J. Stroud. And I like laughed. I'm like, well, they have a game to play, and you know, either one of them get hurt, so I can't say that. But when we get to that week, call me and we'll talk about that later. I have yet to get another call, but what I'm going to say to you is, does that still hold true? Can Blake win the Heisman Trophy if Michigan wins?
I've thought this was a game where C.J. Stroud or Blake Corum could win the Heisman Trophy, and C.J. Stroud for sure. I mean, the season, you know, he's had a very solid season. He's been way up on all the Heisman Trophy projections, and Blake Corum, you know, you watch, I'm not a, I watch the odds makers, and they've definitely, he's gone from 101 to being right there in it. And, you know, it's not, it hasn't been typical for a running back, sorry, Jamie, but not lately for a running back to win the Heisman. And, and he was definitely on that, just outside looking in. And I thought, oh yeah, for sure, a big game by Blake Corum, you know, in Ohio Stadium and lifting Michigan to a win, for sure. I'm not sure if that seals the Heisman Trophy, but it definitely puts him, that whole recency voting, you know, you've got the vote in, what, early December, and then people would remember a performance like that. And the same goes for C.J. Stroud, and he's already got a Heisman Trophy voting following, so this kind of game would seal it, I think, for Stroud is definitely a top two contender.
Angela, I appreciate you coming on, being a part of the M Zone. As usual, you were great. That being said, drive safe and be careful out there. I know you don't wear the colors, but you're a well-known name that reports Michigan football. I'm just letting you know. Be safe.
Yeah, but they know I'm from Ohio here, Jamie. So, you know,
they don't
Cincinnati.
Count
Cincinnati. It's own island on the other side of the state.
Exactly. They don't count you in Cincinnati.
It's Cincinnati and the rest of the state. Yep, yeah. That's exactly right.
I mean, Cincinnati did make it to the college football playoff more recent than, you know, that other school. So it's all good in the hood. Just go ahead. There a little more digging into the wound. That's all. Yeah.
Well, thank you. I appreciate it as always.
Thanks, Angelique. Drive safe and have a good time. As good
enjoy
a time you can down in that cow town.
Oh, Jamie, tell everybody how you really feel about Ohio State.
Hey, the rivalry is respected, though. Remember, this ain't little brother. This is, I respect this team, okay?
There's a lot of respect between both programs, absolutely.
Exactly. Thanks, Angelique. That's Angelique Shingalis. Hey, read up on her. She knows what she's talking about. I'm telling y'all.
I was going to say, before we go to break, because we got one of our games for our college pick'em. Can we do pick'ems real quick here?
Yeah, we forgot to do that with Angelique.
Well, hold on. Because I bring her on here. Angelique, you got time for picks?
You got time for picks?
Oh, she left.
Damn it.
And she's gone.
Oh, she left. Oh, well.
Well, I'll call her. I'll get her pick. I promise you.
That's fine. We're going to do this real quick, and we get to EA on the other side of the break here.
Yep.
All right.
Let's do it.
Do it real quick, because one of the games is actually going to kick off here in a matter of moments. Five games plus Michigan tomorrow. We start off the one that's actually about to kick off here over in Iowa City. It's Nebraska at Iowa coming up 4 o'clock BTN. Iowa's a 10.5 favorite. Jamie Morris, who you got?
Yeah, Iowa's going to win the Big Ten West. I'm sorry. It's over today. I mean, they're getting a new coach. Nebraska's getting a new coach. Matt Rhule sounded like he's coming.
So apparently they're not going to take the guy that I thought they lifted the interim off of him, but okay.
It sounds like Matt Rhule's in there. He's the guy.
All right, fair enough. Matt Leach, who you got?
No, Nebraska's not pulling this one off. There's no way. Iowa.
Go ahead.
I was thinking about it. It would be fun, but no. Iowa, somehow, I agree with Jamie, is going to come from the depth of despair of not having that offense and losing a few there in the middle of the season where we thought, no way can they win the West. But here they are on top again with the win today. I agree with J-Mo. I think they will be the West champ.
Real quick, I got Iowa as well, too. The people end up taking Iowa. Purdue at Indiana. Purdue 10.5 point favorites. We got?
Go ahead. Matt,
yeah, Purdue. Purdue is going to do it here today. I have no faith in anybody in the West. But in this rivalry game, the West hasn't fared well against the East. But I do think Purdue does end up getting it here. I think they can just throw for a few too many yards, and they win this one in a close one.
Jamie Morris?
Well, you know I picked Purdue because Purdue's my Big Ten West champ. I mean, yeah, Purdue wins.
Yeah, I've got Purdue as well, too. People also got the same as well, too. But the only way they win the Big Ten West is if Iowa loses today.
I know.
And by the way, that game's tomorrow, 3:30 on BTN. This one doesn't even have a TV channel on because that's how unimportant it is. Illinois at Northwestern. Illinois is a 14.5 point favorite at 3:30. Jamie?
Take Illinois. Yeah.
Matt Leach?
Yeah, I wish our boy Pat could put up a little bit more of a fight, but that state is the Illini's, and Illinois is going to roll.
Yeah, I've got Illinois. The people have got Illinois. Now we go outside of the Big Ten. Two games that actually impact the college football playoff world. Number 6, LSU travels to College Station to take on Texas A&M tomorrow at 7 o'clock. The Tigers are only a 10-point favorite in this one. Matt Leach.
Only a double-digit favorite?
Only 10.
I think LSU, they are going to keep that momentum rolling all the way into the SEC championship game. Yeah, I got the Tigers on this one, and I think they're going to beat that spread. I think they're going to go out there on a mission.
Jamie Morris.
Family.
Look, LSU wins that game, but it's going to be tighter than most people think.
Yeah, I'll be honest with you, because I make dumb picks. And this is going to be my dumb pick. I'm taking upset on this one. Texas A&M outright. I'll take them. The people took LSU as well too. 7:30 out on the West Coast. Number 13 Notre Dame travels to Los Angeles to take on number 5 USC. Trojans 4.5-point favorite. Jamie, the Irish or the Trojans?
The Trojans. Come on, Cam Utes is going to be the runner-up Heisman Trophy winner. I mean, you know, loser, but he's going to be there. I'm telling you.
Gotcha. Matt Leach.
That V for victory. I hated it. I hated it when I heard it when they were beating us in that 2000, I guess it would be the 2007 Rose Bowl. But I do think that they are going to be hearing a whole lot of that, and I think Caleb Williams is going to be throwing all over those Irish, and yes, USC gets the victory and keeps those playoff hopes alive.
I've got USC as well, too. I think that we'll see how they fare in that Big 12 or that Pac-12 championship next Friday when they probably take on Washington, but I'm going to take the Trojans of this one. The people got the upset. They're taking Notre Dame on the road. I like it. It's a bold strategy, Con, to see if it
people
works
feeling,
for them.
Feeling feisty.
A little frisky, whatnot.
Catholics calling in or tweeting in.
Hey,
exactly. Yeah,
I'm nothing against Catholic. I'm just saying.
Watch everybody how you talk about that. Us Catholics.
So I'm gonna be actually be bouncing out of here in a bit because I've got women's basketball down the hallway. Gavin's gonna take over, but I'll give you my pick. You guys can do yours. I'm assuming you guys are both going Michigan on this one. I'm hoping so, but I'm taking Michigan to beat Ohio State tomorrow. I'm going to go 27-21, the final for Michigan over the Buckeyes down in Columbus. That's going to be my score prediction for tomorrow.
Nice.
So I don't know if you guys want to pick now or if you want to do it at the end of the show. It's up to you guys.
Miz, I'll stay with you. I got Michigan winning this game. I got Michigan winning this game 24-17.
All right. Matt Leach.
You guys know me. It's pained me all season long to do it, but I've had Ohio State as the front runner in the Big Ten.
Don't do it.
I've had them as the team.
Don't do it. Actually, no. Do it. Do it, because you did it last year.
I feel like I have to tell you that the Wolverines don't give a squat about any of that. They coming out there with that same fire that they came out last year with. And last time we went down to Columbus, we had an epic matchup in 2006.
Take them.
This time, the Wolverines are winning, baby. 42-39, the exact opposite of that score in 2006. We get revenge. J-Mo, I know you want me to pick Ohio State. I did it last year.
That's been your pick every week. Every week. And you want to break it now?
I still say they're the better team than us. But the better team doesn't always win the damn game. Sometimes it's called the power of the human spirit. And we saw it on display last year. To see it again this year, baby. Let's go.
I'm sorry, Jim Harbaugh. Michigan Wolverines. You remember
me. That's fine. I'll take
the
heat.
That's the black cat crossing Michigan right now.
Yep. But those are our picks for this week. We'll get to our college, our conference playoff, our conference tournament ones next week as we're going to take the Power 5 for next week. So with that being said, I'm bouncing out and going a couple doors down. Gavin's got you guys. Eric Anderson at 4 o'clock, and of course you can't go without a day before game day without the wise words of one Mr. Coach Bob Thornblade Esquire. So, guys, enjoy the rest of the show. I will talk to you guys later.
All right, Miz. Gavin, we're looking forward to seeing you. You're listening to the M Zone, the premier show.
The countdown is on for the 2024 NFL Draft, presented by Bud Light, live from Detroit, and you can attend in person for free.
Welcome to the NFL Draft.
See the next NFL stars and experience the ultimate NFL fan festival, featuring live concerts, interactive games, player autographs, and more. The NFL Draft, presented by Bud Light, April 25th through 27th. Visit NFL.com/draft access to register for free entry today.